It is good to see everyone on this January 23rd, 2022. And we are continuing our New Year series. And we are going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll look at verses 8 and 9, and then I'll jump down to verse 12. And the title of today's message is The Land That Overflows. And what we're doing is we are comparing Israel's journey into the Promised Land, following Moses, following the words of Moses and the leadership of the Lord. We are comparing living in the Promised Land to dwelling in the center of God's will as a new covenant Christian. And we're going to see that the principles concerning dwelling in the Promised Land are the same principles that apply to a Christian being in the center of God's will. And in the Promised Land, you're going to see the blessings of God, the promises of God, the presence of God. But you're also going to see in the Promised Land that there were enemies that had to be fought. There were temptations that had to be turned away from. And you went step by step by step as you gained and possessed more and more of what God wanted the children of Israel to have and to enjoy in their covenant relationship with Him. We too are in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ based on His sacrifice on the cross. We're His children. And there are a ton of things that the Lord wants us to enjoy. And I've got this in my notes, but a lot of times I get excited and I forget to say it. So I want to make sure I hit it now as the Holy Spirit brings to my mind. And we'll study this. The children of Israel, even under the apex of the reign of King David, even under the apex of the reign of King Solomon, when they were their most prosperous and powerful, they never ever possess more than one third of the land God promised Abraham. They never possess more than one third. And, you know, when I found that this week and was studying it and backing it up and looking at it, you know, one of my prayers every day for the nation of Israel, and I can say that, I pray this every day, probably 6 out of 7 days, sometimes on Sunday, I don't have the prayer time I have, is that the day will come during the millennial reign of Christ when the nation of Israel will occupy all the land under the original borders promised to Abraham by God. And He will rule the world from Jerusalem, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But for them, during that time, they never possessed more than one third of the land. And so you say, well, Brother Leo, what does that mean to us? Well, you know, how much of the land flowing with milk and honey, you know, overflowing with milk and honey, how much are we possessing of all that God wants us to possess in the center of God's will? You know, peace, joy, hope, inner strength, wisdom of God, counsel of God. You know, how much of that are we possessing? 33%, 50%, 70%, 80%, I hope so. You don't want to get up there and the Lord say, oh, there was so much I wanted you to enjoy, so much I wanted to give you. And so here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8 says this, therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land. My friend, I want to be living in the center of God's will as much and as long as I can. I don't want to be in God's will this month and out of God's will next month. And I want more and more areas of my life brought into the center of God's will. You can be living in the center of God's will in one area of your life and be back in Egypt in another area of your life. And it's going to cause you to miss what God has for you in that area of your life. So we want to take all this in. We want to find out why they won the battle of Jericho and then turned around and lost the battle of Ai. We do the same thing. So much comparative principles in this study. Now, look at what he says, that ye may prolong your days in that land. And then in verse 12, a land which the Lord your God cares for the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. So 2022, this year, from the beginning to the end, we want to grow more and more and more into the realization, hey, I've got this area of my life in the center of God's will. I have finally got this area of my life in the center of God's will. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Most people in life, a lot of times, they'll have problems and crises and different situations. And you know what the bottom line problem is for the Christian? They're not living in God's will in that area of their life. That area of their life's not in God's will. The relationship they're involved in, that's not in God's will. The situation they're involved in is not in God's will. They don't have their finances in the center of God's will. They don't have their marriage in the center of God's will. And the thing is, they never have. Or you never have. There's got to be a concerted effort. I want you to understand, the walls of Jericho fell down, but they had to march around them. You know, it's bringing your will. You know, we have these words in the New Testament. Striving. Forgetting those things. Leaving behind those things. Striving for it. We've got Galatians telling us the flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit battles the flesh. You know, we've got to meet God where He is trying to help us. And one of the greatest tragedies in the Christian life is there are many people, and I'm now close to 38 years in the ministry. Does anybody ever do anything for 38 years anymore? I'm teasing. I told Pat, I said, how many people work a job for 38 years? Of course, this isn't a job. You know, you find your passion, you never work a day in your life. So if you're a young person, find your passion. And you never have to work. It's an incredible thing to wake up on Monday morning excited about getting ready for next Sunday. It's just an incredible thing. So seek that. But you know, so many people in their lives have never really asked themselves the questions that we've got to ask ourselves in this sermon. And realistically answer them. So look at what he says. Verse 12, a land which the Lord your God cares for, the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as I call upon you right now, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that when I confess sin unto you, as 1 John says, you are faithful and just to forgive me of these sins and cleanse me by your precious blood. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can have fellowship and communion with you every day, that we can share our hearts and we can hear your voice, because, Lord, we need it. More than we need to breathe. And so, Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness toward us. We want to thank you for your provision. Many folks are sitting in this room right now with blessings sitting all around. Family and loved ones, health, strength. Let us take none of this for granted. To be able to see the beauty of the sunshine. Holy Spirit, you take over and you be our teacher today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy 11 verse 8 says this. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you. And we're going to get into love and obedience in another sermon this day. That you may be strong in my strength and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it. Verse 9, a land that overflows with milk and honey. 2 months before they're going to cross the Jordan, Moses is reiterating the law. He's expanding points on it. He's letting the children of Israel know what is most important. And so he says, go in and possess and experience all that God has for you. So that's what it means to live in the center of God's will. You want to possess all that God has for you. Now, notice verse 10. This was the last time we were together. For the land where you go to possess, it is not the land of Egypt from whence you came out. So, this land is not Egypt. It's not a place of bondage. It's not a place of heathenism. It is not a place of disobedience. So, there are certain places in your life you've got to leave behind. You've got to turn away from, so that you can enter into the promised land. So, whatever it is that keeps you from experiencing all that God has for you in the center of God's will in this life, you need to turn away from and leave behind. Whatever it is that keeps you from experiencing all that stuff. And you say, well, Brother Leo, how do I know that? Well, you ask God. You ask God to show you. Lord Jesus, show me the things in my life that I'm involved in that are keeping me from experiencing the things in my life that you want me to have. Are there situations I'm involved in that they're not in your will? Am I in a relationship with someone that's not in your will? Am I handling a particular situation totally wrong? Totally wrong. And not in your will. You know, people have come to me in 38 years and they'll say, you know, Brother Leo, I know I'm doing wrong. And you want to look at them and say, what? Oh, well, I know I'm doing wrong. Well, okay, take the next step. Repent. Confess to God. Let Him change you. Let Him turn you around. Oh, Brother Leo, I know this isn't in God's will. I know I shouldn't be involved in this. I've had folks tell me before, even going to church, they'll say, oh, I know I'm not being fed in the church I'm going to. What? Well, I don't get anything out of it. Why do you go? Well, my granddaddy built that church. And I want you to understand, you know, we look at that as an extreme example, but how many examples of my life have I been outside of the will of God for a very shallow and inconsequential reason? So you have to be serious about seeking God's guidance and discerning when you're in Egypt and when you're in Canaan. And it breaks down into all the different areas of your life. So, go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to give you the comparative verse for the land overflowing with milk and honey. And I feel like I keep doing introduction messages, but we're going to get down to specifics, hopefully. Now, I've got a disclaimer. Patty got me a new Bible for Christmas. And it is a Zodites. And it's very, very similar to this, my fourth Bible in 38 years, pulpit Bible, study Bible. And it's not held together by electrical tape and duct tape, so you can see that. Why do you use electrical tape on a Bible? Because it's black. I'd string it together with electrical tape. But what I want you to understand, I've been using it for 2 weeks, but the pages still get stuck. So if I'm slow today, we may be stuck on a page. All right. Now, when you're talking about the land overflowing with milk and honey in the Old Testament, let me give you a comparative phrase in the New Testament. So, in Ephesians 3, verse 17, Paul prays this prayer for the children of Israel, for the church at Ephesus. Now, Paul could pray this prayer for me. I could pray this prayer for you, and you could pray this prayer for yourself. that, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Rooted and grounded in your love relationship with Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, Cleo, when you're living in the center of God's will, you're rooted and grounded in your relationship with Christ. And you have a feeling of being settled spiritually. Say, Brother Leo, what does it mean to have a feeling of being settled spiritually? I don't know a lot of things, but I know I'm saved. I am settled spiritually, and I am convinced that as I've committed my soul in spirit unto Him, He is taking care of it until that day. How many people, and if you're one of these people and you're listening on the internet and you don't know if you're saved or not, my friend, there's no way there's any areas in your life that are established in the center of God's will. So you need to be rooted and grounded through that quiet time alone with the Lord, through the assurance of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm saved, then what? You know, you got to leave behind those. Verse 18, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know intimately the love of Christ. You're going to see Old Testament and New Testament how your love relationship and your obedience to Christ walks hand in hand in verse after verse after verse after verse. The Lord's not asking you to be obedient to Him without loving Him. I want you to understand that. The Lord's not just saying, obey me, obey me, obey me. He's saying, learn to love me, love me, love me, and then you want to obey me. And we're probably not going to get to the verse today, but there's a verse that I shared about 3 weeks ago during the recording where He says, I've given you these commandments for your own good. You know, I want to praise God, Jody. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't realize when my mom and dad told me no, it was for my own good. And anytime God tells you no, it's for your own good. Now, look at what He says. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the phrase. That's the prayer. The children of Israel, God wanted them to go into the promised land so that they could live in the land overflowing with milk and honey. In the new covenant, Paul wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's what you want, and that's your prayer. Lord, I want more of You in my life. Lord, I want more of Your presence, more of Your wisdom, more of Your guidance, more of Your counsel, more of Your conviction. I want more and more and more of all these godly things in my life. And you need to pray that prayer out loud every day. I want to be filled with more of the fullness of God. Hopefully we'll get more specific in a moment. Verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to God's power that works in us. Now, what did the Lord tell the children of Israel? I want you to go into the promised land in My strength and in My power. Let me tell you something. I don't have the power to keep my mouth shut sometimes when I ought to keep it shut. But if I've got God's power working in me, He can keep my mouth shut at times when it ought to be shut. I don't have the power to give someone my cloak when they steal my coat. But if I've got the power of God working in me, then I can have that patience, that kindness, that long-suffering. And I can see the big picture that a coat is not worth alienating someone and not being able to minister to them, Jesus Christ. So you want the fullness of God. You want more of His power and His strength operating in your life. You're going to see the walls of Jericho fall down, and you're going to see this tiny little army in Ai whip the children of Israel, all because of that one verse, the power of God at work and the power of God not at work. And so we have got to desperately seek the power of God. And look at what He says. When you're filled with all the fullness of God, verse 20, the results are going to be exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So praise God, in the center of God's will, where His power is active, things are going to go on in my life much, much better than before. Yet, you know, Job entered into a situation in life where he lost everything he had, but I love those last few verses. The latter end of Job was blessed so far beyond anything he had ever had. I want you to understand, that's your life in the center of God's will. You can be living a life where it is more blessed than you ever imagined it could be. But we've got to seriously seek to bring all those areas under the submission of God. So that's the phrase, to be filled with the fullness of God. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And you want to delve in to that saying. In Ephesians chapter 1, here's another prayer, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, it says this. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now all these blessings, the land overflowing with milk and honey, all the cattle, all the pastures, all the grass, all the hills, the valleys, the latter rains, the early rains, all these physical blessings in the Old Covenant, we can compare to these spiritual blessings in the New Covenant. In the center of God's will, you're going to experience the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So, what is it that I want? I want more of you, God, in my life. I want more revelation of you in my life. How well do you know Jesus today? You say, well, Ralil, what kind of question is that? Well, think back to when you were saved. How much better are you acquainted with the Lord now? How much more do you understand Him? How He deals with you? How you need to deal with Him? You know, I dated Patty when we were 16 in high school. Now I'm 61 in the ministry. I know her and she knows me a whole lot better than we knew each other at 16 years of age. And it's the same way in our relationship with Jesus. And so the prayer is, and you can pray this for yourself, Lord, fill me with the spirit of wisdom and more revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, go down to verse 23. Jesus Christ is the head of the body of the church, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. There's that phrase again at the end of verse 23. The fullness of Him that fills all in all. So what are you saying, Brother Leo? Every time you read verse 17 or any of these verses, you can say, Lord, I want to be filled with more of the spirit of your wisdom. I want to be filled with more of the revelation of who you are. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling for your life, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that you may know more of the exceeding greatness of His power toward you, that it would work mightily in your life, the same power that raised Jesus out of the grave is the same power that can give you victory over certain sins and bondages that have existed in your life for 40 years, just like the children of Israel in Egypt. And so what we've got to understand in the walk, in the relationship with the Lord, being in the center of His will means I'm going to get more and more and more and more of the spiritual blessings that God wants me to have. And so that's your goal in 2020. You want to live spiritually in the land that's overflowing with milk and honey. And it's time we don't miss out on a lot of the things God has for us. And you'll see the reasons we miss out in the weeks to come. But look at what he says, more your power, more your wisdom, and more of your understanding. And in verse 23, the body is the church. It's the fullness of Him, you're part of it, that fills all in all. Now, you want to be filled with all that God has for you. And let me make just a couple of points. Number one, and this is just by experience, you don't want to settle for less than what God has for you. Many folks settle for less. You know, I can remember growing up, you know, and things have changed now, and I think they've changed for the better. But when a young lady was 25 or 26 years old, she was supposed to be married. That's just the way it was. In our culture, she was supposed to be married. And so I think a lot of young ladies back then, they felt that pressure, and they got married. They didn't marry who God wanted them to marry. They just got married. They settled for convenience or for what was available. And so when you're seeking God's will, you don't want to settle for less than God's will. Well, Brother Leo, how do I know it's God's will? You will know it's God's will. I mean, you got to grow to the place where you know if you pray over a situation or you're involved in a situation that the Holy Spirit's either leading you to get closer to move forward or the Holy Spirit saying something ain't right. You know, if we've not attuned ourselves to that sensitivity, there's no wonder we got demonic people filling the House of Representatives and the Senate and the presidency and all this. You know, we've got to grow to a place where we're sensitive to what's of God and what's not. And if you don't know what's of God in your life and what's not of God in your life, we're in a world of mess. Now, if you got saved yesterday, I'll give you a free pass on it. But if you've been saved 30 or 40 years, goodness, you should be in a place where you can discern where Egypt is and where Canaan is in your life. You're either ignoring the conviction of the Holy Spirit, or you're justifying self, or you're making excuses. God doesn't deal in any of those areas. You know what He deals in? The truth. So you just want to open yourself up to the truth before the Lord. Now, one thing people do, they settle for less. And then the second thing, you don't want to allow yourself to be deceived by the devil that something is good in your life when it's not. And there are people that time and time and time again, they allow themselves to fall under a spirit of deception and say, this is what I need. This is what my child needs. This is what, and you know what that'll be based on? It'll be based on the comfort you get from numbers. Well, everybody else is doing it, so I ought to do it. Everybody else is involved in it. Well, I ought to be involved in it. No, I want you to understand something. Jesus will speak to you as an individual. He'll give you guidance as an individual. He'll reveal things to you as an individual. And then you make your decision based on that. You make your choice based on that. We've got an entire culture that is going to tell you an entire litany of things that they say is right, but we know according to the Word of God, it is wrong. And see, the great problem we have with a lot of the false religions, and you say, Brother Leo, what's a false religion? Well, I'll give you one of my examples. The false religion is when people say that you get saved by works and not by grace. That you've got to work your way into heaven. And the problem with that is, let's say you go to that church and your parents went and your grandparents went and you're sitting there with 300 other people. And you're sitting in this church and the preacher gets up there every Sunday and says, you got to obey the commandments. Obey the commandments. Obey the commandments. Brother Lee McQuillan told me he heard that every time he went to church. Obey the commandments. And he said, I knew I couldn't obey the commandments, so I was never going to get saved. And that's how he felt. But what I want you to understand, how damaging is that when you sit there with 300 other people and you know what you say to yourself? Man, I can't be wrong. Are all these people wrong? Are we all wrong? Well, that is a deception that the devil uses, and he'll use it in every area of your life. Just because everybody at work acts this way or does this, everybody at school thinks this or does that, does not. It is a deception that the devil wants to say something is good when it is evil. And so in being in the center of God's will, you don't want to settle for less than what God has for you. And you don't want to be deceived out of God's good by getting involved in something that appears good, but it's from the father of lies. And he hides himself as an angel of light. Now, let me show you another comparative verse when we're talking about the land that flows with milk and honey. Go to Ephesians 1. You may be there now. I tried to keep everything here so my pages wouldn't get stuck together. Ephesians 1 verse 3. I love this verse. I read it in a devotion about a month ago. Hear another prayer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to think for a moment. What is a spiritual blessing? What is a spiritual blessing? These are the things you're going to enjoy when you're living in the center of God's will. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 5, Paul says, even when we were dead in our sins, Jesus Christ has made us alive together with Christ. By grace alone are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, he's talking about when we go to heaven, brother. No, he's not. At the point of salvation, I want you to understand, and you can write it down. I'm not going to take you there. Philippians 3:14. God has raised you up into a high calling of life. You're not living on the horizontal anymore. You are raised up into a different way of living. You're not living in a hog pen. You're not wallowing around in the mud. You're not going to cuss like a sailor. You're not going to act like a lot of these people act that you're going to be around, that live for the carnal, live for the flesh. Live for the pleasure of a moment. You have been raised up to see life with a different perspective, a godly perspective, an eternal perspective. And for Emma and Lauren and Blair and these young people, they have been raised up to see, hey, God's got a plan for my life. God's got a purpose for my life. I'm going to respect myself, respect my God, respect my family, respect the church I represent. And I've got a different view of living. And so when he says he has raised you up into this higher way of living, he's talking about living in the center of his will. And what it exists in the center of his will? Well, spiritual blessings. Turn back to Ephesians 1:3. Look what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Now, what is a spiritual blessing? For you got two homework assignments. Number one is make a list of what you think spiritual blessings are. I'm going to give you a hint right off. Go with me to Ephesians 3, verse 14. I'll get there. Just give me a minute. You know, this is definitely not good for the website. You know, I had this earlier. Where it says, strengthen with strength in the inner... Yeah, here we go. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, so what's a spiritual blessing? A spiritual blessing is inner might and strength that is given to you by God. So inner strength is a spiritual blessing. What might be another spiritual blessing? The peace of God is a spiritual blessing. Joy and hope, those are spiritual blessings. Having a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude unto God, those are spiritual blessings. And what the Word is saying here is when you're living in the center of God's will, you know, they had milk and honey and cattle, you receive more and more, a greater intensity, a deepening of joy and peace and steadfastness and confidence. I wrote down gratitude and contentment. What's a spiritual blessing? Well, is your salvation a spiritual blessing? Certainly. I thank God every day I'm saved. Thank you for my salvation, Lord Jesus. And I shared with Tim when we were recording one time. You know, I was thinking on that. You know what a great, great spiritual blessing to me is concerning my salvation? That I am convinced and that I know without a doubt that I can't lose my salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The eternal secure, the knowledge based on the Word of God of the eternal security of my salvation. You know, there are a lot of things I got to worry about. I don't have to worry about, but there are a lot of things I worry about in this life. Praise God, that's one of them I don't have to worry about. You've got religions teaching people they can lose their salvation. I want to praise God. That's a great, great blessing. So we've got, how about forgiveness? Is that not a spiritual blessing? Put that on your list. You know, Blair, I might go out and commit a sin today before I get out here. Matter of fact, I can sin sitting in here doing this right now. You say, Brother Leo, how in the world can you sin sitting in here doing this? Well, you can get in the flesh. I've done it many times. You can get in the flesh. Get out of the spirit. But I want to praise God, I can be forgiven today. I got forgiven initially when I got saved, and every day I can ask God to forgive me when I get convicted of sin. That is another spiritual blessing. And when you're living in the center of God's will, you realize more and more and more what God's bringing into your life for the inner man. Strengthened with strength by the inner man. So the life overflows and He calls us to go in and to possess. I'm going to just give you a preview of next week. Go with me to Joshua 3. And we're going to get specific on a lot of things. Now, what I just read to you out of Deuteronomy, that was 2 months before they crossed over into Jordan. Now in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, this is when they're crossing over Jordan. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may see it ahead of you, and you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Now, Apollos, this is 2022. You've not passed this way before. And verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, I want you to understand something. I want the Lord to do wonders for me in 2022. I want Him to do wonders for me and my family and for this church and for all kind of things. So, what do I have to do for this to be accomplished in my life? Well, I'm going to share with you three positions spiritually you got to put yourself in next week. But I want to show you this one first. Look at what he says. There's going to be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits. That's 6/10 of a mile. 6/10 of a mile, the Ark of the Covenant was going to be in front of the columns of Israel. Now, at that time, commentators believe Israel had between 2.5 and 4 million people. So I don't know if they were 100 abreast, 1,000 abreast, but you got this huge column of 2.5 million people, and you've got the priests, the first line of people, the priests were out in front, 6/10 of a mile, so they could see where the presence of God was going, so they could follow Him into the promised land over the Jordan that He was going to part. So, my friend, you've got to understand, if you're going to enter the promised land of God and be in the center of God's will in certain areas of your life, you got to make a commitment in 2022 to follow God in that area, to let God lead you in that area. And so you can make a list of the areas in your life. You can pray over them, and you can ask God for discernment where you're in Canaan and where you're in Egypt. And you want to make sure that this area, I'm bringing it into the center of God's will. This area I'm going to bring into the center of God's will. And you speak these things unto God in your prayer time. And you make these commitments unto God, and then you're going to see Him do wonders in your life. You'll see Him start working. But He is not going to force Himself on me, and He's not going to force Himself on any one of you. He has to be true to Himself. He cannot take away your free will, and He cannot bless disobedience. As much as He wants to do for you, He will never take away your free will, and He can never bless our disobedience. So, as we close today, I want to ask you a question. As I said earlier, it's been said to me many times in my life, where folks say, Brother Leo, I know I'm doing wrong. Is there an area in your life where, according to the Word of God, you know you're not being obedient unto God? The way I wrote it is, you don't want an area in your life that is intentionally disobedient to God. And so we want to pray about that for a few moments, if Martha Jo will play for us. Is there an area in your life where you know you're being intentionally disobedient unto God? You say, well, Brother Leo, you know, I don't cheat, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't murder, I don't commit adultery. Okay, we got those taken care of. That's good. Is there an area in your life where you need to be taking a stand for Jesus, but you're not? You know, David Jeremiah says that one of the greatest tragedies, we're not standing up for our convictions in this country. You know, we just go with the flow. And when the flow says, make God 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, we do it. It's everybody else's. You know, so is there an area in your life where there is a degree of disobedience? Doesn't have to be 100%, but is there a degree of disobedience? Is there an area in your life where you're holding on to Egypt And God's leading you to let go, but for some reason, you're not letting go yet. And as you bring these things before God, you know, He is the easiest friend you could have. You know, Cleo, I never feel judged by my Lord. You know, when I tell Him things, I don't think He looks at me and says, "Oh, you're a horrible person." I don't think He looks at me and says, "You're a terrible pastor." I think He tells me a lot of times I'm being too hard on myself. But the bottom line, whatever I'm telling Him, He already knows. But me releasing these things unto Him allows Him to start working in these areas. And convicting and cutting out and leading. So as we close today, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and say, "Lord, is there an area in my life that You need to reveal to me where I'm being disobedient unto You? It's in Egypt. I've got an Egypt thing going here, Lord. Is there an area where I need to be making a stand for You? Is there an area where there's a degree of disobedience unto You?" And then ask God to give you the strength and the faith and the trust to turn it over to Him and then to take a step of obedience. Because we're going to see in the weeks ahead, there is no way He can bless you in disobedience. But where you can step forward in obedience and see what Joshua said, God do wonders in this area of your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we want 2022 to be the land overflowing with milk and honey for our lives. So as Martha Jo plays, would you spend a few moments in prayer?